Welcome to our examination of the scripture readings for the third Sunday of Lent. At this time, I ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 3 to 7. Today we read from the book of Exodus, chronicling the supreme moment in Jewish history. Having been freed from the grip of Pharaoh and traveling under the guidance of God, this is the second time in this journey that they have found themselves without water, the first being shortly after the destruction of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. While their complaint is leveled against Moses, in their hearts they are complaining against God. For while being slaves in Egypt, life there was not as grueling or testing as here in this forsaken place. Notice the contrast, how Moses viewed his people in the court of Egypt and here in the desert. Previously, Moses had referred to them as his own, as in, "Let my people go." But here, now that these people are exhibiting anger against Moses and God, he comments, "What shall I do with this people?" Instead of chastising them, God provides for them, as God does so many times throughout their wanderings. Moses is commanded by God to stand on the rock in Horeb. This mountain is also known as Sinai, the place where Moses encountered God in the burning bush. There is no clear agreement among scholars as to whether it is just one mountain, with the eastern side being called Sinai, and the western side, Horeb, or if there were really two different mountains. Confusing to our sensibilities, this difference in minor details does not detract from the main point of the incident: God will provide. And there is also no agreement on the locations of Massa and Meribah, hinging on the fact that these names are translated as testing and quarreling, which gives a sense of the relationship at that time, as it would throughout their history, between the chosen people and their God. For our New Testament reading, I ask you to turn to the letter to the Romans, chapters 5, verses 1 to 2, and verses 5 to 8. This week, we return to Paul's letter to the Romans, again in chapter 5, but now at the beginning of the chapter, where Paul discusses the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. Because of what Jesus did for us, our faith is given the highest privilege. We no longer had to, as was the custom at the time, present our needs to the temple priest, who would then present them to God, for God was now here among us. We do not read verses 3 and 4, where Paul discusses how afflictions produce endurance which builds characters, as we place our trust in God who provides. This hope that God will provide comes from the love of God being poured into our hearts, a love we do not deserve but are given in spite of ourselves. Verse 8 is the point of Paul's discourse so far. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The reading for the third Sunday of Lent comes from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. While rubrics tell us that we are never to read the short reading simply in the interest of saving time, I will read the shorter version this week. But I ask you, when you have the time, to turn to chapter 4 in the Gospel of John and read the entire passage from 5 to 42. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water. I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to this woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Even a simple surface reading of the woman at the well reveals so much about Jesus and his mission. But when we explore the depth and understanding of the references with a Jewish mindset, the passage is simply marvelous and thought-provoking. Even the opening two lines have such hidden meaning. Jesus is in Samaria, a land looked down on by the Orthodox Jews at that time due to a Jewish ancestor marrying a Gentile woman, as happens so often throughout history. Here are two factions at odds with one another, even though they share a common background. Jesus sits near Jacob's well, an underground stream of flowing, and therefore living, water. He is tired from his journey, a New Testament term for missionary work. It is about noon, the heat of the day, when this woman comes to the well. The townspeople have given this woman a bad reputation. We know that, as it is noon and good women came to draw water either early in the morning or late in the evening. Having asked for a drink of water, the woman is shocked. In this public spot, Jesus should not even be seen with her, let alone talking to her. When she questions if Jesus thinks he is greater than Jacob, their common ancestor, Jesus responds with the Old Testament reference to the springs of living water. Her respect for the past is preventing her from seeing the present moment, who it is who is talking to her. Before giving the water he can provide, Jesus tells her to get her husband, which she can't do as she has had 5 husbands. Before we think that this is just another fascinating little tidbit about the woman, we need to remember that there were 5 foreign tribes that had intermarried with the Samaritans and had introduced their pagan gods, collectively known as Baal, into Samaria. Could this have been Jesus' way of making her reflect on the various beliefs she has become aware of, and is now offering her a return to the one true religion? Jesus concludes by saying, Where one worships is not important. It is what is in your heart that makes worship true and sincere. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.